Good morning, everybody. It's good to be here. It's good to see everyone else that's here. We have visitors, and I'm glad that we all have the desire to come together to worship our Creator this morning. Ron did a good job reading that passage. I want to read it one more time, though, just so we get that in our mind as we start our lesson. In James chapter 4 and verse 13, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that." The subject this morning I want us to consider is, what is life? I usually start and plan my sermons for like a couple weeks out to get things to put together on them. But with the events of last Monday, I thought it would be appropriate to talk about what is life. And with the tornadoes that rolled through the area, a lot of people are thinking about life, what's important. And one of the things that we need to keep in mind, we need to keep reminding people over and over what is life and what is important. I was living in Xenia with my parents when the tornado went through there in 74. An F5 tornado totally wiped out the city. The city was so fortunate that there were only about 30 people that were killed in that storm. One of them was somebody that I knew from school. He lived down the road. We lived out in the country, and he lived down at Shawnee Lake, which was a few miles on down the road. And when we came back to school, you could tell that everybody was different because they had lost everything. But then, as time went on, they got over that. Insurance covered things. Insurance bought them something better. They had more than they had before, and life went on. And what happens? Then you forget about God. And friends, we must keep in mind, what is life? The first point I want us to consider is that life is a gift of God. God does not owe us life. It is not something that we deserve. Genesis chapter 7 and verse 1, "Then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation." In this passage, we see where God gave life to Noah and to his family. He was going to preserve them. He was going to keep them safe. Acts 17:28 says, "For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring." You see, we are the children of God. Life is a gift from God. You think about a couple that wants to have children. Children are born into a family. We also are his offspring. We are the offspring of God. We are born into a spiritual family, but when you think about the physical family, not every woman is able to conceive, and it is a gift from God. We read in the Old Testament and the New Testament about people that were barren and could not have a child. It is something that is precious. You think about a gift that you give someone, it is something that is valuable. Our life is precious. God gives us life. Every breath that we take, everything that we need to exist, to continue, he gives it to us. He gives it to us lovingly, whether we deserve it or not. He gives life. He preserves life. You stop and think about this last week. Every direction that we have driven it's just been horrific. If you could make it down a street and you see parts of houses gone, you see an upstairs with clothes and furniture there and the whole front of the house is gone, houses smashed. How many people died? I don't know. Not many. I haven't heard numbers. God preserves life. And we need to be in God's hand so that He preserves our life eternally. You think about those houses that we see. Those houses, those buildings, some pretty big buildings, just leveled. You see, we have this idea that something we see is going to last forever. You see a big building, it's going to be there. Friends, not necessarily. And you think about our bodies and the life that God has given to us, and we all have the health and the ability to be out this morning, but we are just looking at this fleshly body that everybody has. The real gift that God has given us is a soul that is eternal, that's going to live on forever. And that is just dwelling in what we would call a tent. This tent, this tabernacle, it's temporary. None of us here, I don't think, nobody here lives in a tent. We want to live in a house that's a little more permanent, made out of bricks or stone or wood, something that's a little more permanent. It can be done away with too. But God has given us the gift of life. He has given us a soul that is going to be eternal, that it is going to live on. And if we live for Jesus, that soul can live in the presence of God around His throne and enjoy His glory. And we can sing praises to Him with a host of angels. And it'll be a place where there are no tears, no pain, no heartache, no sickness, no disease. Life is a gift. It's a gift. And what do we so often do with it? We waste it. We squander it. We don't value it. And it's sad to see how this country has turned and how it once valued life, now thinks nothing of committing murder to babies. Life is a precious gift from God. Well, not only is a life a gift from God, but life is also the target of the devil. Every one of us that is alive, Satan is out to get us. And he started that work back in the garden, in the Garden of Eden, in Genesis 3, 1 through 6. And he has been going about his job ever since then. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 7, so we must not be ignorant of his devices, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Friends, our life has a big bullseye on it where Satan is aiming to get us. He's very devious. He's very subtle. He will do everything that he can to get your life. What does he want to do with your life? He wants to kill, steal, and destroy your life. He wants to ruin your life. Is he going to tell you that? No, he's not going to tell you that. But he wants your soul because he doesn't want to be in torment by himself. He's out to get every soul that he can. And he will do it in such a subtle way. It may be through a small child, through the eyes of a woman, through the words of some man. We don't know, but he is out to get us. We have not had internet for the last week, and yesterday I was at the library to email some things, and I don't have my phone set up to do certain things on it because I just want to use it like a phone. So I did get a text message on it, though, when I was out. And it said something from, it was from Facebook, and it said, you need to follow this link to confirm your information, to verify your information, or you risk losing your account. And I thought, wow, that's something. So I got one of the other people in the library and asked them, do you know anything about this? And he said, let me get some tech guy. He got some tech guy, and he said, let me look at this. And it was some scheme. And so many, because the first thought that goes through my mind, oh, I've got to do this, or my page will be shut down. But again, somebody was out there trying to get somebody to give them information to use it against them, to hack their account. Satan is out to get each and every one of us. Peter, in 1 Peter 5:8, he says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You see, people that are suffering loss right now, there are going to be people out there trying to scam them and take their money, promise them one thing, and they aren't going to deliver. That's what Satan's going to do. He's going to promise us something in life. You do this for me and I'll give you that. What is Satan? He's a liar. He's going to lie to every one of us. And Peter, he tells us we need to be on our guard. We need to be sober. That means to be clear-headed, able to discern between right and wrong, able to make judgments. We need to be sober. What is your life? Do we think about this? When we get up in the morning, do we think, boy, Satan's out to get me today? Or do we just get on that rat race and start running and forget about all of these other things? We need to remember that. The devil, that's his job every day. Our job, life with our job every day, is to serve and worship God. Satan's job every day, he is out to destroy our life. And if we don't have our eyes open, he's going to be chipping away at us. Well, another point about life. Life is the schoolroom of eternity. So what is a schoolroom? A schoolroom is where you go somewhere to learn something. Our earthly life is the only place that we are going to learn and prepare for eternity. When you go to school, one of the things that we often had regularly were tests. It was not uncommon to have tests every week. Some tests were small, some were open book tests. Some, they would tell you the answers ahead of time because they wanted you to pass the test. Some were big tests, some were hard tests. Well, you think about life. We are tested here. Every day, life is a test. Some of the tests are open book tests. We can turn to God's Word, and we have this situation come along. Well, what does God say about that? Oh, this is what I need to do right here. Some tests we have to study and study and study. Some tests we might fail. So do we just give up? No. We study harder and we make our resolve firmer that we are going to be pleasing to God. We want to pass that test. Because friends, when this life is over, where we spend eternity is going to be based on how we have done here on this earth. How about our worship? How are we doing on that test? How about our Bible study? How about helping others? You know, we are tested by the way we help others, by teaching them the gospel. We are tested in so many ways. We have a gospel meeting coming up in a few months. That's going to be a test. What are we doing? Who are we inviting? Who do we want to get to come to hear the gospel? Amos 4:12 says, "Therefore thus will I do to you, O Israel, because I will do this to you, prepare to meet your God, O Israel." Are we preparing? You know, when you're in elementary school, what did that prepare you for? Prepared you for junior high. You're in junior high, what did that prepare you for? High school. What did high school prepare you for? It either prepared you to go on out into the workplace, or to go to college, or to go somewhere else. Each place was preparing you for the next thing to come. Well, friends, life is a schoolroom, and it is preparing us. Now, when we get out of high school or college, we have all kinds of options. We have all kinds of directions that we can head. But friends, when we get out of the schoolroom of life, do you know how many directions we can head? How many options we have? We only have two options. We have heaven, we have hell. What is life? It's the schoolroom of eternity. How are we doing? How are we doing on the test? How did I do on the test last week? Am I studying for a test that might come up? Sometimes things that become a challenge to us should not be because we've not applied ourselves to the scriptures. God has given us all the answers. God has given us examples of people that are prepared and unprepared. You think about the story of the wise and the foolish virgins in Matthew 25, 1 through 13. Let's turn and look at that. Matthew chapter 25, verse 1, "Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, 'Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out and meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said of the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming.'" So here's a parable of these 10 virgins, these wise virgins and foolish virgins. The bridegroom is coming. Christ is going to come back. He's going to return to this earth to take his church and deliver it to heaven. Some of these were wise, some were foolish. Foolish ones weren't prepared. Again, life is the schoolroom of eternity. It is to prepare us. If we aren't prepared today, are we going to be prepared tomorrow? If we aren't prepared when we die, do we get to repeat a grade like we did in school? We don't get that. We don't get that. This is the schoolroom of eternity. How do we prepare? We hear His word. We believe His word. We repent of His sin, of our sins. We confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We're baptized for those forgiveness of our past sins. We're raised to walk a new life. We arm ourselves with the armor of God. We focus on serving God, on loving Him, clinging to Him, walking with Him. And then we're prepared. We're prepared for the test that comes along. And if today is our last day, then we are ready to enter into eternity. Well, another thing to consider about life, life is short. Life is short. And that was brought to our minds this last week. When storms go through an area, you stop and think, this has been a long week. It's been a long week. Back from last Sunday evening and then Memorial Day. Our whole weekend was full with family activities. And then Monday was a full day, and then Monday night, things changed all around everywhere. And as we have tried to get to the building here, tried to go other places, we'll go to the grocery store here. Well, that grocery store is gone. I need to pick up my medicine here. Well, that drug store is gone. I need to go this direction. Oh, can't go that direction. Can't get through the street. And those are inconveniences. Those are inconveniences. But when something like this happens, we are reminded of the brevity of life, how short it is. It's just like a vapor, like we read about in James. It's just like a flower. It's there one day. It's blooming, and then it's gone, it's faded. The storms remind us that life is not permanent. It can end at any time. We need to be prepared. Something else that reminds us of the brevity of life is auto accidents. This is a fatality here. You can see nobody could have survived that. You know, I imagined several here have probably been involved in accidents. Chris was several weeks ago. He's very blessed that God was watching over him. I have been in some. I didn't have body damage to me. And I've been in some that if it had been a couple seconds this way or a couple seconds that way, I might not be standing here talking to you. Just because of an auto accident. What are we talking about? We're talking about what is life and how fragile it is, how brief it is. And it can be gone in a matter of seconds. It can be gone in a matter of seconds. You look this way, you don't look that way, that's it. Life is over. We need to be prepared. Well, how about health issues? Again, we are reminded of the brevity of life. When we go over our announcement sheet, we have so many people to pray for, and we don't know, they don't know when their last day is going to be. And again, unless the Lord comes back, we are all terminal. We are all going to die. But again, life is a precious gift, and some people, you want to live longer than they can, but because of some sickness, some disease, their life may be shortened. It may be shortened beyond their plannings. Things are going to be in God's hands. So someone may have a condition, and they might have made plans to live to be 90 or 100, and they die when they're 30 or 40. It happens. Life is short. And then there's natural causes. You could live to be 100, and you ask somebody that's 100, how long has your life been? And they'll say it's like a blink of an eye. Time goes so fast. And you think about whatever age you are. And when we're younger, you know, when I was a small child, teenager was a really old person. When I was a teenager, somebody in their 20s was old. When I was in my 20s, somebody in their 30s, they were over the hill. You know, the older you get, time changes, and whatever age you are now, you add another 10, 15, 20 years, and you think, well, that's not that old, because we're getting so close to the end of our life. But natural causes. Life is short. Even if we live a long, full life, life is short. That is life. And again, that's for this body. But our soul is going to live on. It's eternal. God gave us a soul to worship Him. We are preparing here to do that when we reach heaven. So we don't know when our life is going to be over. It's going to be short. So say we don't have a storm today. We aren't involved in an auto accident when we leave. We don't have any health issues where we are hospitalized and at the end of our time. We don't die of natural causes. Well, maybe Jesus is going to come back today. We don't know. Again, life is uncertain. Life is uncertain. So, should we make plans? Yes, we should make plans, but we should plan to make Christ the center of our life. We are to seek first the kingdom of God, and then all of these other things will be added to us. So life is short. James 4:14, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Job 14:1-2, man who is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He comes forth like a flower and fades away, and he flees like a shadow and does not continue. How long does a shadow last? It's here and then it's gone. Our life is just a moment. 2 Corinthians 4:17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. All the suffering that we go through here is referred to as a light affliction compared to the time, the exceeding and eternal weight of glory that we can enjoy. Psalm 89:47. Remember how short my time is. For what futility have I? You created all the children of men. And 2 Corinthians 6:2. Since time is so short, now is really the only time we have. He says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So, we have no guarantee of tomorrow. And with this, the last point, and just to review the others, because life is a gift of God, because our life is the target of the devil, because life is the schoolroom of eternity, because life is short, our life must be according to God's will. If it's not, we've lost everything. We've not just lost our life, we've lost our eternity. Again, back to James 4:15, instead of saying, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, we ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. That's the way Jesus was in everything that he did. Why did he come down here? One of the reasons was to do the will of him who sent me. John 6:38. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Hebrews 10:9. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first that he may establish the second. And in Luke 22:42, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Friends, the events of the last week have gotten people's attention. But friends, we must hold those lessons in our mind, because things will get fixed. Insurance will cover things. People will have more. And if their focus is not on God, it'll go back in the world. If our focus is not on God, Satan is going to take us back into the world. Life is so short, friends. We need to love our life. We need to love our life and prepare for eternity. 1 Peter 3:10, for he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. So God created us to enjoy life, but he also wants us to stay pure and holy so that we can be with his presence one day. When I said at the beginning that life is a gift, again, all of us, if we have children, when we wanted to have children, God blessed us with the gift of those children. And the thing to consider is, you think about that joy that we had when we had those children, but the greater joy that's nothing to compare is that we can be children of God. That is the greatest gift that he can give us. Not that we can have children, but again, that reminds us of that gift that he gave us where we can be his children. And how do we become his children? Jesus said in John chapter 3, he told Nicodemus, you must be born again. We must be born again, born of the water and of the Spirit. Friends, life is short. If you're outside of Christ, don't wait. There's no guarantee of tomorrow. If you are a Christian and you're struggling with things, if you need prayers, if you have sin that you need to repent of, if the church can assist you in any way, if there's anybody here this morning that needs to be obedient to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.